God's grace calls you to suffer, and it calls you to wait, but it never calls you to stand in your own strength or to stand alone. The Bible never denies reality. The Bible never plays it safe. The Bible never offers you a comesticized view of the fallen world. The Bible never tricks you into thinking that things are better than they are. The Bible is straightforward and honest, but not void of hope. While it is very candid about the hardships of life in this broken world, the Bible is also gloriously hopeful. The honesty does not crush the hope, but neither does the hope negate the honesty. Psalm 28 is a good example of the important harmony of these two. To you, O Lord, I call, my rock, be not deaf to me, lest it be you silent to me. I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my pleas for mercy when I cry to you for help, when I lift up my hands toward your most holy sanctuary. Do not drag me off with the wicked, with the workers of evil who speak peace with their neighbors while evil is in their hearts. Give to them according to their work and according to the evil of their deeds. Give to them according to the work of their hands. Render them with their due reward, because they do not regard the works of the Lord or the work of his hands. He will tear them down and build them up no more. Blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the voice of my pleas for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts and I am helped. My heart exults, and with my song I give thanks to him. The Lord is the strength of his people. He is the saving refuge for his anointed. O save your people and bless your heritage. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. The psalm of trouble ends up being a psalm of shining hope. That's the story of the life of every believer, because you and I are never alone in our trouble. The saving refuge is always with us. And so in this psalm, we saw here that the first few verses are this cry out and this realization of the writer just crying out to God and saying, be not deaf and be not silent. And then in the same chapter, it turns into, blessed be the Lord, for he has heard my voice. And the psalmist looks for the Lord to be his strength, for the Lord to be his refuge, and for the Lord to be his shepherd to carry him on forever. And what I enjoyed about this devotion reading was really the beginning, as the author says, that God's grace calls you to suffer, and it calls you to wait, but it never calls you to stand in your own strength or to stand alone. And the reason why that part stood out is because in my scripture reading, I've been meditating on John chapter 9. And in John chapter 9 is a story of Jesus healing a man born blind. And I'll read the first few verses where it says, as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. And so just in those first three verses, there's a lot of questions to be asked in terms of what they thought about healing, what they thought about the physical realities and the impact of sin in someone's life, in terms of the disciples asking, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? So the disciples, in looking at a man born blind, there was something in them that made them ask, why is this man born blind? What is the source of this man being born blind? And for them, they're asking, was it his sin or was it his parents' sin? But Jesus' response can be, maybe for some of us, you could say it's a bit hard to even accept. You would almost accept, yeah, the reason I have my physical ailments is because of sin in my life, whether it be my sin or someone sin in my life. But Jesus' response is that it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. And so I read that, and that's almost a very, for me, it, it becomes a hard statement to accept, to almost that this man is blind from birth. And Jesus' response is that the works of God might be displayed in him. And it's not that this man is born blind from birth and he's like maybe 10, 15 years old. As you read later on, as the parents are being questioned about who has healed this man, the parents respond to the religious leaders and they say, well, you ask him. He's of age that he can speak for himself. So we recognize that he's old enough to be probably a mature person that could respond on their own, that he doesn't need his parents responding for him in this situation. And so when I look at that verse and I think about that verse and I think about what can I walk away with? What can be the takeaway from this? And it's for me, a difficult takeaway to walk away from. And for me, it's that whatever life may give me, whether it be in suffering or in pleasure, may the works of God be displayed in my life. That simple. May the works of God be displayed in your lives, whether in pleasure or in suffering. That's a hard one to... In pleasure? Yes, Lord. May the works of... May your works be displayed in my life. In suffering? That's a bit of a harder ask. And that's why I think this devo is very important for me, because this devo, the author says here that God's grace calls you to suffer and it calls you to wait. But here's the hope. But it never calls you to stand in your own strength or to stand alone. And so sometimes we may take a biblical truth as this in terms of, hey, whatever life may give you, whether in pain, in pleasure, or in suffering, may the work of God be displayed in your life. And then we try to walk that out on our own strength. The hope that we have is that Jesus walks with us, that we do not walk through these things in our lives alone, that we do not have to rely on our own strength to walk through these things alone, but that we have him to lead us, to walk with us through all these seasons in our lives. And as the psalmist says here, be their shepherd and carry them forever. This is in John chapter 9. And then in John chapter 10, Jesus makes the declaration, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep because he cares for them and he knows them and because the sheep belong to him. And so the hope that we have, that whatever life may give us or whatever life may have given you, may our prayer be, in those seasons, God, may your work be displayed in my life, whether in suffering or pleasure. Amen. Let's close your eyes as we go into a time of worship, as we just seek the Lord during this time and see how he speaks to us and leads us and guides us, knowing that we do not stand on our own strength and that we do not stand alone, but we say, the Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts and I am helped. And so, Father, we thank you for your goodness in our lives, that you are wonderful. And thank you for the honesty of your word, that yes, there are hardships along the way, that there is pleasure and there is suffering, that whatever it may be, may your works be displayed in our lives. That in pleasure and in abundance of our seasons, that we may never forget you. May we never look to ourselves and our as the place of strength, that we got here, everything that we have is because of I worked from it. Or in suffering, that we would become angry at you. But instead, that we would lean towards you and find strength in you. So as we worship you, we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Jesus, Jesus, holy and anointed one, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Your name is like honey on my lips, your spirit like water to my soul, your word is a lamp unto my feet. Jesus, I love you, I love you. Jesus, 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 risen and exalted, risen and exalted one, Jesus, your name is like honey on my lips, your spirit like water to my soul, your word is a lamp to my feet. Jesus, I love you, I love you. Your name is like honey on my lips, your spirit like water to my soul. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Jesus, I love you, I love you. Jesus, I love you, I love you.
Why don't we just take a moment and just think about that? How is the work of God being displayed in your life in this season? Maybe that's your prayer this morning, asking God, Father, show me the work that you're doing in my life in this season, because I can't see it. I'm lost in the circumstances. I'm lost in my heart, in my mind. I just can't see the work that you're doing in my life. And so let's take a minute and just ask God, God, what's the work that you're doing in my life that I may respond to what you are doing? Thank you. Father, we bring our troubles before you, that the things that we may not have an understanding of the why, and that we can't comprehend, we surrender it to you, that you're working something in it in our lives. And so, Father, I pray that yes, we would be confront the realities of our lives, but not lose the hope that we also have in you. That you bring hope in times of trouble, that you bring hope in times of where we are unable to understand and comprehend. And Father, I just pray for anyone here that is great. I think we're all great at that first part of the psalm where the psalmist is just complaining, the psalmist is just venting and pouring out his heart. We're all great at that part, but we get stuck there and we can't turn the page and get to the part where we say, blessed be the Lord. Father, help us become unstuck. If any of us here are stuck in our pain and our suffering and what we've been through or gone through in our lives, and we're great at that first part, but we're unable to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. My strength is in you. Move us from despair into hope to see the work that you're doing in our lives for your glory. And so, Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's go into a time of community prayer.